Hi, Natasha Mitchell with you, all in the mind on ABC Radio National. If you've been to Bali, as many Australians have, you're about to witness a side of this beautiful country few tourists do. People like this man, Gusti, who you can hear singing. Balinese people held for years like animals in chains, cages and even medieval stocks, a practice known as pasung, common in Indonesia. These people, and they are fathers, brothers, sisters, mothers, in many cases live with mental illness. Even more confusing is that most are locked up by their own families. Some forced to eat, sleep and defecate in the same spot while their illness goes undiagnosed or untreated. This is a scene repeated throughout the world, in fact, and when one of Indonesia's leading psychiatrists, Dr. Lur Suryani, discovered hundreds of people in this situation, she was determined to take action. And look, it's easy to judge when we hear horrendous stories like this, isn't it? We're quick to say, well, we wouldn't do anything like that. But it's important to look closer and ask, what's going on for families where this is happening? Why is it happening? For All in the Mind, Jakarta-based journalist Rebecca Henschke is taking us today with Dr. Suryani on her rounds in Karangasem in East Bali.
So we've just driven up the slopes, the lower slopes of the main volcano in Bali, Mount Agung. We've come to a small village, and this is the furthest that we can drive. So we're getting out now to walk up into the villages, and we're going to see a patient first that Dr. Suryani hasn't met before, but her volunteer health workers have informed her that there is a patient that needs to be seen. So we're going to go and visit that patient first.
Sudah 5 tahun di Pasung karena jalan-jalan masuk pura.
Volunteer health worker Noman Kusama, or Ade, gives Dr. Suryani a detailed history of the patient before we set off.
Ibu, you haven't seen this patient before?
No, I never see. I just receive information from my volunteer. So I will try to interview the patient. This patient may be schizophrenic, maybe affective disorder with psychotic, or maybe this is psychomotor epilepsy.
So at this stage, what we know is that they've been held in stocks for 5 years, is that right?
Yes, the patient in the chain 5 years, but he has a problem 11 years ago.
And he's been destroying temples, is that
yes.
right?
Yes. He always bring to fire the temple, so the family worry this man will continue to do it.
I'll let you walk so it's not too tiring.
The family's dogs are the first to greet us. As we walk behind the barn, past some chickens on our left and some pigs having a mud bath. On a small bamboo platform is a man in his 50s, hugging his knees and hiding behind a piece of torn material. His leg is chained to the platform. This is Ainenga Raka, and he's wearing nothing but a filthy T-shirt and a piece of material wrapped around his waist. They tell me you have fits where you go crazy.
Yes, they say that.
What makes you get angry?
Because my cows were disturbed.
Anything else?
Just that.
They said you go to the temple.
Yes, they say that.
What makes you go to the temple?
I just go. No one tells me to go.
So why do you take fire with you? You are not worried the temple will burn down?
No.
You see lots of people here. Are you frightened?
No. The truth is, I sit here feeling relaxed.
His family comes out of the nearby vegetable fields. They've gathered around, two shirtless men with farming tools in their hands and a couple of thin women in sarongs and loose T-shirts. Dr. Suryani asks them why they've chained up their relative.
dan pedalam niki metegol kan
menjano saya tenang niki mau ben njo tiang nuju menek nuju suung niki di jumah.
He's lazy, stressed, and he gets very angry if he doesn't get good things. He throws things and breaks things, they reply. He doesn't understand we are poor. A young man dressed in a t-shirt and sports shorts comes down from the house. It's the chain man's grandson, Made Muktada. He's a university student and the only one in the family who's fluent in Indonesian rather than Balinese.
Kenapa ya ini sampai di cut begitu kan? Karena keluarga itu kan takut nantinya.
The reason we have resorted to chaining him up is that the family is scared because he goes to the temple with a lighter and we are worried he is going to set it on fire. He has never hit anyone or been violent. It's just that we want to anticipate and make sure something bad doesn't happen. Chaining him like this is the last resort. He is not mentally ill. He is not sick. He is just stressed. Maybe because his wife left him for another man. Maybe that's what sparked his strange behavior.
Mungkin itu yang pertama yang mengakibatkan gitu.
Suryani, is it okay if I talk to him?
His grandson takes me over to speak with him. He's come down from the platform and is squatting on the ground like a frightened animal. His eyes are startled and confused. I ask him if he knows why he's being chained up.
Terus bapak gimana perasaan di pasung di sini?
Biane kan kengen diambo nak biane bayi dayi dah malu kenang niki.
So I don't walk off. I want to find new, better farming land for my family.
Jadi bapak ingin dilepaskan?
Do you want to be free?
Nagelebang. Biane mampun je niki panak ceng lek ngegah tiang pagal
mampun biane. If my family is ready to free me, then I'm ready to be freed.
It's starting to rain, and Dr. Suryani and her team decide to move up to the main house.
The diagnosis of patient is an affective disorder with psychotic. So I must give medicine for them for anti-mania. But important, I must influence the family. Because all family think he's normal, but the bad person. And I told them he's not normal, he's sick. But if he can take medicine regular, he will become normal. And after he understand himself, in that time, you can release the chain.
Terkejut sekali. Padahal
the grandson is in shock. I had no idea he was mentally ill, he says, staring into the rain, holding the prescription. Dr. Suryani is Bali's leading psychiatrist. She's the former professor of psychiatry at the island's top university. She can charge up to $1,000 for a consultation. And she uses some of that money, as well as donations from Australia and Germany, to help Bali's mentally ill who are not being treated.
We have an animal. We clean them, we washing them, and give food and have special place. But why their member or their family isolate in one place? The smell is very bad and seldom people visit. And they just visit them to give food and water. They don't care what they will do for this. And this is make me so sad and think what I must do for them.
And doing something has resulted in Dr. Suryani waging a battle with the government to get funding and against a culture that often sees mental illness as the work of the supernatural.
We've headed up into the jungle again. We've walked through a stone path through some thick jungle, some beautiful giant bamboo, coconut trees, salak trees. We've come to a house in a coconut grove now. And this is where Dr. Suryani says a blind man, who's also, according to her diagnosis, is suffering from schizophrenia, and he's being here tied against his will by his wife, who's refusing to let him go or be seen by Dr. Suryani. So Dr. Suryani is coming here against the wishes of this man's wife.
Papa, Pak Wayan, Eleng nggak diam, Suryani.
Wayan, do you remember me? Suryani?
No.
How are you feeling?
I'm feeling a bit better, a little bit better than before.
But is there someone here looking after you?
Yes.
Would you like to go to the hospital? There they will wash you and give you food.
I don't feel like it.
Why?
Don't want to cause too much trouble for other people.
No, there will be a carer who will pick you up. It comes under the responsibility of the government.
No, I don't want to trouble anyone.
But here you're not washing and there's no one looking after you.
I'm embarrassed.
If that's the case, let's go to the hospital so that you can at least breathe fresh air. The air in here is filthy. Wow, it's quite a confronting scene. This is really what many would describe as paradise. We're in this grove of coconut trees, there's beautiful frangipani flowers around and grass, and then you go into a very small room that absolutely reeks of urine and feces. The smell is very overpowering, even to be in there for 10, 15 minutes, let alone the amount of time that that man's been in there. And he's chained to two pieces of wood. His leg, one leg is chained with a traditional kind of stock, a metal stock, and one leg that he keeps rubbing because he says it's too tight. Wow.
Wawan Wenten is his name, and he's been sitting in medieval stocks in this room for 9 years.
Yeah. Tapi sekarang mengunjungi sama Dr. Suryani, lihat. Yeah, dia mau bapak sembuh.
Wawang's sightless eyes fill with tears when I shake his hand. It seems like it's been a long time since someone has touched him.
Bapak berapa anak?
How many children do you have, I ask? Three. Do you get fed here? Yes, twice a day, 4 in the morning and 5 in the afternoon. Does your leg hurt? Yes, after years being here, it's sore, very tight. I'm not allowed to be freed. My family wouldn't let me. Do you wash? I can't have a proper wash, for the mattress will get wet. I don't want that. There's no one around except a farm worker. Suryani asks him if Wawang has been aggressive since they started treating him 3 years ago. No, he replies, not at all. So what we want, she says, is for the family to release him, or I will call the mental hospital and have them pick him up. Otherwise, we will call the police, she threatens. He looks worried and rushes off to find someone. The high priest of this village arrives. He's dressed in a bright yellow sarong and crisp white shirt. 3 grains of rice have been placed on his forehead. Wawang's wife works at the high priest's house, and he tells Dr. Suryani that she's worried for her safety if Wawang is freed. Dr. Suryani doesn't accept this. Dr. Suryani turns to the high priest. You don't think the son will have bad karma because of locking his father up like this and leaving him? Wawang was crying before, she says. The high priest pushes away my microphone. He's clearly very nervous. When I approach him later, he agrees to talk.
When he was free, he would get very angry and violent, very violent towards his wife, would pull her hair and put a knife to her throat. If he was stressed, he went crazy like that at her. I have often suggested to his wife that she should let him go now. But she says she is frightened that she will be attacked again. I have also told his son to let him go. And his son says, yes, I know. I feel awful about it. If he wasn't sick, then I would never put my father in stocks, he told me. That's enough. That's all I will say.
Jadi istrinya sekarang di mana, Pak?
Masih ada orang perkawinan kan?
Where's his wife now, I ask? At a relative's wedding, he says. She's busy.
Masih ke Selak, Ladido ya.
Iya, iya.
For All in the Mind on ABC Radio National and Radio Australia, Rebecca Henschke joining the rural rounds of leading Balinese psychiatrist Dr. Lu Suryani.
dan kami dari lembaga juga akan mengawal itu semua.
Dr. Suryani's professional partner is one of her six sons who's followed in her footsteps as a psychiatrist. Dr. Chok Bagus, or Yayang for short. Yayang is on the phone to Wayang's son, patiently trying to convince him that their family would not have to pay anything for his treatment. Bali's governor has just launched a major public health initiative offering free health care for all Balinese. Dr. Suryani's team will pay for the rest.
And I said to him, we give treatment for him since 2008. Have ever we ask any money from your family? And I said, we never ask any money, so you need to understand that money is no problem for your father, actually, but your willingness to cooperate with us giving treatment for your father so he can be better and normal again. Mm-hmm. That's the most important.
Yeah, because now you can have a fairly normal conversation with him.
Yes. Before, also, he was more loud, shouting, not aware with the situation around him. But now he seems to understand, but kind of like hopeless in a sense. Yes. That he just wanna just let me be like this, feel like lonely. You know?
Dr. Suryani has a unique approach to psychiatry that includes meditation, Hindu spiritualism, and preventative mental health programs, as well as the use of Western antipsychotic medicines.
Balinese society is very spiritual, isn't it? Religion and Hinduism are a large part of everyone's daily life, aren't they?
Yeah, Balin is very strong with their belief, Hindu and spiritual way. Mostly the patient, the people think mental disorder is caused by supernatural or maybe physical natural problem. But mostly people think caused by supernatural. And the healer know both of this. But psychiatrists just know only natural problem. So Balinese more trust healer than psychiatrist in the past. But after I introduce meditation and relaxation in public, we try to translate the healer concept to the daily understanding of the people about mental disorder.
Dr. Suryani has had some extraordinary results.
We've come up a laneway at the foot of the volcano to come and meet one of Dr. Suryani's success stories. This is where Gusti lives. Through the alleyway, past some houses, into a very traditional Balinese compound where the extended family lives together. There's a puri, or a small temple, inside the compound. And there's also, over to the right, there's a more run-down couple of rooms. And it's in here, if we come in, this is where Gusti spent 6 years of his life, chained up by his own family, unable to move. The family had lost all hope for him. Where this is how Dr. Suryani found him, chained up, long hair, refusing to wash, and spending his time singing ancient Hindu songs. Now, over on the left, he's joined and he's sitting with his family in the newer, well-built houses. And he's showing some of his beautiful paintings of Ramayana stories. And he looks an incredibly different man. It's impossible to recognize him from the footage of when Dr. Suryani found him.
Is this your work?
Yes.
So what is this?
This is come from to Ramayana epos. While Hanuman go to Alanka. You know Ramayana?
Yes, yeah, a little bit. This is Hanuman, the white monkey.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Just learn.
When you were in your room before, when you were chained, did you paint?
No.
But singing,
yeah.
Singing all the time. Can you still sing now?
Singing?
Yeah.
Ramayana song. Anasiratu diabirangan.
He's also translating ancient Javanese texts into Balinese so he can sing the ancient Hindu texts. clearly a very intelligent man. The whole team is delighted as the value of their work sinks in. The mood in the car is certainly happier now as we drive to the next patient.
Okay, this is the last stop for today for Dr. Suryani and her team of three volunteers and her son, Yayan. She's brought the village chief along this time because she really wants to sort this case out the last time. So he's out the front waiting for us. So Dr. Suryani's told me that this is a wealthy family. We're entering into a compound of houses with white tiles and Balinese style houses. Again, once again, in a very beautiful garden with frangipani trees and bougainvillea.
At the back of the house, Nka Nengi Hari Herenawan, the oldest son, is tied to a platform next to a room with a simple bed. He's only wearing a T-shirt and is crouched like a monkey and is jumping about as Dr. Suryani tries to talk to him. She turns to the parents and the village chief. He can't sleep well here. It's all wet and dirty. You don't feel sorry for him? As it seems you can't work together, I have come here to request that the mental hospital come and collect him, she says. When he's well, he can come home. And when that time comes, please give him somewhere decent to sleep, she adds. The boy's mother, who's a nurse at a local hospital, tries to protest. I ask if we can talk and go to sit down on the edge near her son. She says, don't sit there, it's dirty, and leads me away.
Mungkin juga karena kurang perhatian waktu kecilnya karena saya jarang nengok terus di samping itu juga.
I guess his problems stem from not getting enough attention when he was little, because I rarely spent time with him. Maybe he's also being disturbed by something I don't really understand. You know, we Balinese believe in spirits. Maybe this is black magic, but we also believe in Western medicine. We have taken him to a spiritual healer who said that someone was disturbing him. I think maybe someone wants to harm our family. We put him in the mental hospital for 5 days, but he disturbed all the other patients. So when he was 15, he came out, and we chained him here until now. He is 20 now. We try to feed him, but if he doesn't want the food, he throws it. It's not that I don't want to work with Dr. Suryani. What mother would want to see their son like that?
Calls are made to the mental hospital and they will pick her son up. 2 days later and I've heard that Wawang, the blind man who's been in stocks for 9 years, is now at the mental hospital, so I'm heading there. Bangli is the only psychiatric hospital in the east of Indonesia, so that covers an area from Bali to Papua. It has a capacity of 340 patients, but only limited places for poor people. Dewa Mana, the human relations manager, meets me at the entrance.
Yes.
What?
Sudah okay. I don't drive.
He takes me to find Wawang. He's in the observation room. There's a window and a private toilet. But Wawang's legs are too weak to walk, so a nurse has just helped him have his first bath in 9 years. Wawang smiles as I ask him if he remembers me.
Things have changed so much since you saw me last. Thank you. My room is clean and the smell is good. My wife and one of my children have come here. I can't walk, have to crawl. Legs are stiff after being in stocks for so long. I had to be helped when I having a bed. That was my first bed for years. It felt so good. Feel so much fresher. When I get out of here, I want to return to being a farmer. I'm feeling so much better since you last saw me. Now, I have hope.
Outside, I asked Dewa Manan how it is that a man who is responding so well to treatment could have been kept in stocks for 9 years.
Sepertinya begini, kalau pasien-pasien yang pasung begini.
The thing is, with patients that are in stocks, we do have data and can detect them. We can get the data from the local government, and then our team go and visit them. And usually the family, community, or the patient themselves refuse to come with us to the mental hospital. But with the patient we have just seen, luckily he was cooperative, so we went and picked him up.
So for the last 9 years, you knew he was in stocks.
The problem for the mental hospital is the information from the community about people in stocks is very limited. Sometimes families are embarrassed about it, so it's very hard for us to get the information.
But you have a team that goes out into the community?
Yes, we have a team that every day goes into all the districts of Bali.
But if that is the case, why are there still lots of mentally ill people in stocks? I went into the field for just one day and I met 4 patients in stocks.
Yes, we don't deny there are still lots of mentally ill people in stocks here in Bali.
And you can't demand that the family release them or at least release them to the mental hospital?
No, we can't. What we do in those cases where the family refuses to let them be picked up by our team is we give therapy on the spot and try to educate the family.
But a couple of patients that I met said that they spent some time in the mental hospital and then they went back to the families and became unwell again, and then the families locked them up. How is that possible? Is there no follow-up from the mental hospital once they leave here?
Oh yes, we do follow up. We work with the local government health units to make sure they are getting medical treatment.
But most of the local health units don't have any mental health drugs. I've seen that myself.
Yes, that's true. And that's why they work together with our mental health team.
So why then are there patients who have spent time in this mental hospital going home and being put in stocks?
It all stems back to the level of knowledge the community has about mental health. The community's level of education and economic status is still very low. So what the mental hospital is really hoping is that all the stakeholders can work together, including the private sector, in order to address mental health in Bali and educate the community.
So how do you see Dr. Suryani? Is she a helper or a hindrance?
We very much welcome her efforts. We can't do this alone. The government can't deal with mental health alone. We really need to work well with NGOs, private institutions, and the government. We can't handle it alone.
In 2009, Dr. Suryani received $120,000 from Bali's governor, enough to treat 300 patients for 1 year. But in December, he slashed the budget by 90% without consulting her. Dr. Suryani now says unless things change, she will have to stop her work in 3 years. I wonder what Wawang or Gusti's fate would have been without her.
Nunggu jemputan keluarga.
At the entrance of the mental hospital is a group of patients who are ready to go home. They're waiting for someone to pick them up. One of them, Koman Hindu, says he's been waiting for more than a month. I don't know my family's phone number, but I wrote to them, he says. My parents put me in stocks, but a journalist brought me here. I don't necessarily feel angry with my family, but I am disappointed. Being in stocks was a really hard time. I'm just waiting for them here to pick me up. It's disappointing that they haven't come, he says, staring at the gate.
Koman Hindu, speaking there to Jakarta-based journalist and producer Rebecca Henschke for All in the Mind, and let's hope the work of Dr. Suryani continues in Bali. We've included a link to her Suryani Institute for Mental Health on our website. And look, of course, the stories of those we've heard today are no doubt more complex than any one psychiatric diagnosis. abc.net.au/rn/allinthemind is our website. Look for add your comments there to be part of the discussion. Share your reflections. I'd really love to hear from you on this one. The downloadable audio is there too, of course. I'm Natasha Mitchell. Thanks to Corinne Podger and studio engineer Tim Simons. Back with you next week.
Germany's top climate scientist has the ear of Chancellor Angela Merkel. His advice has been sought recently by ministers from Brazil, India, New Zealand and the UK. So when he flies all the way to Australia, how much time does he get with government here?
12 minutes.
Professor Hans-Joachim Schellenhuber, director of the Potsdam Institute for Climate Impact Research. In the National Interest with me, Peter Mayers. Download or stream this program from the Radio National website.